You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside cannot. with your night. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people. Stop giving up yourself. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today on this middle of the week, hump day, the 4th of December. Yeah, last month. Very impactful month, of course, December. Kwanzaa, you know, all the other stuff that goes happening on this month. So, but I wanted to do something today as it related to ancient Kemet and further helping us to understand and substantiate the African influence on the world. We are the first people, you know, everywhere around the world. And, of course, the European, which has had the ability for the last few hundred years to rewrite history and shape it and fashion it in their image and in their interests, you know, especially as you look at ancient Kemet, you know, still today, as I say all the time, you know, they're always putting a Caucasian face on things that are happening within the world. And in fact, they ain't done nothing. They ain't done nothing, man. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, at 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you can't now listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can use a shortcut, whatever search engine that you might choose to use. Put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all times are going to give our Eastern. On Mondays and Wednesdays, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson from New Orleans. Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday and Wednesday, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson. On Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. On Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program is on Sunday from 5 to 6. From 5 to 6 on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney. And then right after that is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7, from 7 o'clock. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Tomorrow, Blog Talk Radio, we have Us Lifting Us. On Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us.
on Thursdays from 9 to 10, from 9 p.m. to 10. And you can call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Excuse me. Yeah, I really wanted to play that piece with talking about the creation of civilization. And so what I'm going to do is do what I've done many times and go into Baba Baruti's book, Identity. Identity, Asili, Culture, Society, and Persons, a frontline concepts in African-centered sociology. Identity, and we're going to talk about civilization, you know. But right now, we're going to go into the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. The Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. December 3rd. There will come a wrath so pure, blood will be steed, drawing its chariot, galloping with a stench. It will sweep across the earth like a mighty scimitar. That's that sword that the Arabs use, I mean, that curve in it, scimitar. Slicing away at the garbage of our times, a prayer in horrific motion, forcing spirit from bone and devouring it with the divine grace. Nothing the infidels can imagine will protect them from their karma or the demonic integrity of its intensity. Lani Maketa. They are quite aware of their recessiveness. Their delusions of superiority dictate that what is always of preeminent importance to them is that their disingenuous, rotten mind, twisted, dehumanized interpretation of reality, their mechanical science, and their immorality and unrighteous ethnicity. Their brutal, despiritualized worldview continues and imperialistically expands its domination through time and until there is nothing but them. Only then will they become more normal and the only norm. Their fear of death, exposure, and realization of their inferiority is that great. So there is no need to fret, fear, or needlessly hope that they will change. They are going to do what they do. And those of us who believe we are them are going to do what they do in service to them.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
They are what they are, and this is their culture, their society, their reality. They are what they are. They are going to do what they do, and those of us who believe we are them are going to do what they do in service to them. They are what they are, and this is their culture, society, and reality. It uncompromisingly reflects their worldview, their Asili. But also know that, regardless of condition, of opposition, warriors are going to do what they do because they are our ancestors' return. Warriors are the ancestors' scimitars. Warriors are karma. Affirm, I am karma. Affirm, I am karma. December 4th, for African men and women to develop a genuine sense of self, it is necessary to understand the relationship between the celestial process and the human process. The evolution of the mind, body, and soul are fashioned like that of heavens in perfect harmony and balance. Individuals should not just live in a linear mind world, but strive to unify the right and the left brain function so that compassion, truth, and justice and love become a way of life.
The overemphasis on money, power, and status will destroy African men, African male and female relationships. Let me say that again. The overemphasis on money, power, and status will destroy African male and female relationships. Money and power are important for survival of the African people as a group, but for the African family to survive, African men must become as wise as Yehudi and take care of their women. Women, on the other hand, must be more sensitive and caring. Only then, with African men and women coming together in rhythmic cosmic harmony, will the African and the Africans be whole again and take their rightful place in bringing leadership to the world. William Gunn, Jr. Spiritual connection requires contact. Contact requires peace, prayer, and meditation. And peace and prayer and meditation requires conscious, concentrated quietude. Communicating with spirit is not accidental. It does not just happen because you are born African. It calls for deep, sincere, undisturbed thought. In their search for inner tranquility, warriors breathe optimism in. Let's do this, family. Warriors breathe optimism in, pessimism out. Positivity in, negativity out. Clarity in, confusion out. Certainty in, indecisiveness out. Indecision. Sureness in, doubt out. Victory in, defeatism out. Consciousness in, conformity out. Success in, failure out. Virtues in, vice out. Righteousness in, immortality out. Immortality. Knowledge in, ignorance out. Affirm, family, I am balanced and in harmony with universal order. Affirm, I am balanced and in harmony of universal order. Brothers and sisters, once again, the Enyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. So what I'm going to do, and since I unfortunately not going to do what I wanted to do, and that happens. And so what you always must be, you know, and that's part of my teaching, not my teaching, but part of my preparation as a firefighter. You must always overcome, adapt, and, you know, yeah. Yep. Overcome, improvise, and adapt. Yeah. Because sometimes it requires that. You just can't say, oh, shucks, and forget about it. No. You have to continue to move on in a positive way. You have to continue. So I'm going to go with the identity, the Sili culture, society, and person. Frontline concepts in African-centered sociology. Yeah. And talk about culture. You know, I don't like Europeans' culture. I just read, in which it's always the thing, even though I had to change things, I just read to you the Enyasasim, the first one, yesterday's, which dealt with how the European is and his culture. the belief. And see, why I wanted to do the presentation that I was going to do from the YouTube, it was and it just didn't play right. It was what was it called? Dr. Shikhan Jop. You know, I love Dr. Jop, man, I tell you. I was gonna play this other piece by Dr. Jop, and he's giving a lecture and it's being interpreted, you know, in English, because, you know, he didn't speak in English, even when he was here in Atlanta at Morehouse. I was not here then. I was back in Milwaukee. He had interpreters. No. Yeah. What was that? I got rid of it. Okay. Okay. I'll come up with it. But yeah. The origin of humanity. Africa's place in it. Civilization starts here. Civilization starts here. Starts here in Africa. Starts here. And I can say that sitting here in Atlanta in my room where my computer is, and say it starts here, because wherever I am, family, Africa is. Wherever I am, Africa is. And so civilization began and migrates from that point, and that's what the piece was talking about, the migrations and how the African migrated and continued to influence. But as you see, the European in his development, you know, and now they're looking to do more in terms of development. That's why, to me, family, you know, here's a good deal right here when they're talking about getting rid of a lot of government jobs, which, of course, we would be impacted by that. And we have always been impacted with joblessness and training and so forth in this society, because this is not ours, it is theirs. And there's nothing more impactful than what they did in this last election to show that it is theirs. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about sharing. They don't give a damn about inclusion. They don't give a damn about equity, fairness, justice, none of that. None of that. If they say it, it's just words, because it's not in action. It's not in deed. These are some evil people, family. And one of the things that we must understand, we cannot reform them. We cannot appeal to their human nature. They have none. We have to get the hell up out of here. Please. We have to get the hell up out of here. I'm going to try to get this piece in before the top of the hour, and so we can have some discussion on it and just discuss some other things. You know, we have a lot of things coming up. You know, next week, Saturday, here in Atlanta at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar will be Brother Ayo Kamathi, The Irritated Genie, War on the Horizon. Details all next week, or Friday, in fact. Give more details. War on the Horizon, Brother Ayo Kamathi. We have Kwanzaa coming up. We have all kind of good stuff coming up, family. We got the ASCAC conference in Columbia, Georgia, in Columbus, Georgia, rather, excuse me, not Columbia, but in Columbus, Georgia, where Dr. John Henry Clark is rested, entombed. And we're going to go there and have a conference and, of course, pay respect to Dr. John Henry Clark. And all kinds of good things are happening. And so we're going to deal with civilization in the book, Identity.
The most critical question here is, how do we measure civilization? How can we tell if the condition, state, and or material development of a people qualifies to be called such? For African people, civilization is a personal thing. It is defined in the nature of relationships that exist between people. Believing in the spirit of the root word civil, to be civil. That's why, to me, they never had a civilization because they never civil. They were always murderous. They were always, from their time of the Greeks, the Romans, they were conquerors. And then their awakening in the so-called Renaissance of their time, after African people were the light of the world, we came there, we were there, the Moors in western part of Europe, which of course is once again not a continent. And anybody says there's seven continents, you tell them no, they're not. Europe is not a continent. Europe is just the western part of Asia. It's not a continent by definition. Stop it. And so these people, their mindset was always about conquering, dominating. For African people, civilization is a personal thing. It is defined in the nature of relationships that exist between people, believing in the spirit of the root word civil. African people define civilization based on how people treat each other and the priority given individuals over things. Therefore, the quality of the character of those involved is the most important variable in distinguishing a civilization of collectively accountable, respectable, concerned persons from an aggregation of individuals who are not. We must always be very careful when considering and using these terms as we conceptualize them along African-centered lines. Once again, we're dealing with this from an African-centered standpoint, as that we should do everything. Everything. This especially applies for this. For every society is not a civilization. Consciously full of ancestral intent, we must consistently and universally define civilization in African terms. Doing so requires us to look at our timeless period of spirit. Excuse me, family. Man. Of creating priority of spirit in creating living, evident definitions. Bearing this in mind, we would have to know that how people treat each other and the priority given individuals over things must be at the center of our thinking as we reconceptualize what we are willing to call civilization versus what we understand as Babylon. We, as our historical people, understand the treatment, character, freedom, and vision of women as an incredibly telling indicator of whether or not a society is civilized. Or at least we should. We cannot dispute the wisdom behind the true worth of a people. A culture must be measured by the character of womanhood, of its women. The condition of women in a nation is the real measure of its progress. Or if you educate a man, you educate an individual. But if you educate a woman, you educate a nation. However, we have to consider another factor when measuring a civilization, one inseparable from women yet, at the same time, separate. Through the time of generations, it is really the only indicator that a people are raising into a civilized state or even have the capacity to do so. This factor is children. As with their mothers, a nation can rise no higher than its children. However, with each new returning generation, children have the potential to rise higher than their mothers. That's right. Every generation should be better than previous because of what has been taught and the encouragement to expand and to move forward in thinking and deed and actions. Nonetheless, the reasoning for our prioritizing children over mothers is defining civilization through and can be reduced to a simple equation. Civilization is a measure of quality of life of its inhabitants, especially its most defenseless ones, and children are the most defenseless of all humans. We are speaking about life chances here. Life chances refer to the quality of one's life as evident by their ability to access and control and or possess whatever political, material, monetary, intellectual, and informational resources they need to bring and maintain a sense of comfort, security, and general satisfaction to one's life. It is a probability that one has or will be able to sustain or obtain a desirable state of survival in the reality in which they exist. In fact, practically speaking, we can pose the question of life chances as one personal power. For most often, the number of choices available to us and the quality of their possible outcomes is highly positively correlated with the strength of our sense of who we are and the security we feel toward being able to strive and survive in this and in the other reality. In other words, our power is seen in the choices we see as being available to us, the decisions we make relative to them, and the energy we place into bringing those decisions to fruition. So, choices as power is a critical variable in assessing the life chances of individual. Choices as power. Remember, power, brothers and sisters, remember this definition. Power is not information. Power is not voting. Power is none of that. Power is not money. Power is none of that. Power is the ability to define reality. Europeans have exercised power because they have defined reality and they made others, particularly us, accept their definition as if it's our own. And we need to understand how we define that reality. Power is the ability to define reality that have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own, and they have defined reality. And the question that we as African people need to ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? As I stated many times, initially, see, Caucasians have amnesia, selective amnesia. In this third go-round with our contact, because they had many go-rounds, but this third particularly, after going into this so-called their renaissance, the idea was they are superior and we are inferior. This is, and so in their mindset, in their power relationship, we are soulless. No culture to speak of, no traditions, nothing. Justifying our enslavement, justifying our colonization, justifying our murder, justifying taking of our land. They have acquired under any... In other words, our power is seen in choices as we are as being available to us. The decision we make relative to them and the energy we place into bringing those decisions into fruition. So choices as power is a critical variable in assessing the life chances of individuals. Under any given condition, women have the knowledge and capacity to survive. They have acquired the skills and maturity to live independently. They are adults in power sense of the word. But children have not yet fully acquired the insight and foresight to see what is required to live as safe, productive, independent social beings. They, like the children who made it into adulthood before them, require an extensive socialization in order to be able to successfully do so. Those females who have matured into women have already well mastered this fundamental social knowledge. Of course, we know that the mother is the first teacher, and for good reason. So we cannot be discounted in this equation. But in a world where most defenseless are the most destroyed, we especially have to consider our children.
as vital factors in defining civilization and, by default, the heights to which a nation can rise. We have to understand in a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, how it has destroyed us, how it has destroyed our families, destroyed our communities, how it has made us look at ourselves in such degrading and demeaning ways, how our women behave today, how our young men behave today, the homosexual, it's just a myriad of just ugly issues. This is not a civilization. This is a cesspool of disease. Using this more spiritually grounded definition, a significant number of his children are striving, missing, are starving, missing, homeless, mis- and diseducated, sexually violated, drugged or otherwise intoxicated, obese, spoiled beyond belief and repair, suicidal, incarcerated or on death row, or otherwise tracked out of relevance and reality, then the society they live in is not a civilization. This is not a civilization because nobody, particularly us, treats each other civilly. When looked at this way, obviously people in a praise of Western society believe it is civil because they're using the wrong indicators to measure civilized life. The European definition, however, as would be expected, knowing they're a Sealy, is a discussion of things, a masterfully confusing noise about quantifiable, manufactured achievements of success, waste, and ill-gotten privilege. It focuses on the measurement of visible, tangible machine technology, especially those which do or can supersede and or supplant the physical capabilities and mental ingenuity of humans. The supremacy it claims in the self-styled hoarding hierarchy it has established as a human norm fully corresponds to this lazy, selfless, pleasure-driven, materialistic, extremely individualistic definition of civilization. In the same way that Urugu has misdefined human, they have misdefined civilization to fit their equating of it with progressive mechanical technology and not human civil treatment of themselves, not to speak of that of others or nature. Being human is only a peripheral incidental quality and measurement of being civil for them. At the center of their definition of civilization lies a glorified rationalization of a linear, endless progress of human existence. The following sequences of quotes taken from Mama Marimba Ani's article, European Mythology, the Ideology of Progress, draws a coherent line through the idea of progress in the European mind. It takes us from this underlining cultural and social meaning. The idea of progress is a fundamental aspect of European philosophy of life, providing moral justification for the technical order and giving direction to the striving of individuals within the society. To its historical breadth and contemporary expansion, conceptually progressive motions consumes all of the past within it. And progress is not merely different from, it is more than. As it has its aspirations of supremacy, in this way, European culture, in the vernacular of European cultural chauvinism, is made to be superior not only to what it precedes it, as it does its past, but also to coexist on progressive cultures. In other words, the idea of progress provides a scale on which to weigh, by which to compare people via their cultures, their group creations. The Western European ethos requires a self-image, not merely of superiority, but of supremacy. The idea of the progress makes white people, Caucasian, Europeans, people, supreme among human beings. It is a superiority placed into the dimensions of linear time, and then logic and linear time placed into timeless dimension. Without the idea that this conceptual sleight of hand, cultures could merely be different. Western culture would merely be intensely and obsessively rational. With the assumption of the idea of progress, the West becomes better. To its superfluous arrogance, machine worship, and rationalized ordering of disorder, technology provides the model of efficiency, a model which more perfectly than anything imaginable concurs with the philosophy of change. For in the European view, there is no end to efficiency either. Better and better, more and more, and better and better. I've been saying for almost 20-some years, even longer, there are more and more people and less jobs. Artificial intelligence. All of these things. Man. No matter how efficiently a machine may perform its function, it can always be made more effective and thereby a new and better machine. Progress is, in this way, proven, and Western Europeans can be said to have advanced as technological advances. It does not matter that there is nothing toward which they can advance. Their innovations all seem to contribute to greater order in their society, at least to a certain kind of order. The rationalization of their culture gives them an impression that they have organized their lives more efficiently. This kind of organization is proof of the progress, just as their machines are. All this taken together means that they are smart and getting smarter, the best and getting better. To the Western self, progress is obviously more than an idea. When technology dominates in this way, it is then possible drive for power and control, characterizing the European ethos that is ideally complicated. But European understands their nature to be the nature of all people, and they project this attitude onto the world and dominating it. See, the whole idea of European ethos is that it is understood that their nature to be the nature of all people, all humanity. They are the top. They are the nature of all humanity. Quantitative measurements are fundamental to the heart of their soulless definition of civilization. Looking at two very key definitions, we see civilization defined in Western terms as the type of complex society made possible by agriculture, which creates sedentary populations, higher population densities, political structures beyond the family or clan unit, administrative religious hierarchy, class stratification, and urbanization, and a relatively high level of culture and technological development. The stage of cultural development at which writing and keeping of written records is attained. In critiquing these seemingly harmless Eurocentric definitions, Eleni Dalias explains that the term civilization is a loaded and ethnocentric term that rose out of the Western world's notion of itself and others. The concept of civilization is firmly grounded on notions of superiority based on Western criteria, or understands few people are considered to be at a higher level of society, cultural and institutional evolution than the rest of humanity. In other words, it assumes a hierarchy of societies where only a handful are viewed as achievers or accomplishers. In order to have a civilized people, there has to be uncivilized and primitive people. Being African, we know our definitions should be African. Yorugu are far too limited for a human sociology. Our definitions must be based on the habits of millennia,
of successive African societies organized around the human-based idea of being civil. They must be a direct reflection of the legacy of our ancestors, organized humanity toward everyone and everything. Uncivilized people automatically disrespect each other. Others who do not intimately know them are disrespected even more so. Respect among an uncivilized people, regardless of their dress, speech, or technologies, comes through selfish desire, whether conscious or not, or force, or fear of its threat. Uncivilized people have no natural sense of regard or obligation to others, no matter how well they have perfected the art of deceiving others that they do. Of course, we realize that Western definitions are full of contradictions, which ultimately benefit them. The kind of people they say they are within this reasoning, how others should be, is not aligned with how they act or truly think. This fact, as we have already mentioned, is borne out in the historical record of the rhetorical ethic they so uninhabitedly and wantonly practice against others. If we approach this with a thinking mind, we can easily see that the saying, "keep your friends close and your enemies closer," is reflective of a mind which philosophically has no sensitivity to being contradictory. Deeply rooted vices and superficially practiced virtues make sense of this. Europeans have no problem pretending to be the dearest of friends with a people they despise and hate to no end. We have extremely useful intellectual tool for grasping the magnitude of the impact of this ethically denuded mentality on our existence. It is a term coined by Mama Marimba and analyzed throughout her book, Urugu, which of course to me is the Bible. That's right, I said it. To me, it's the Bible. Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, gives you a clear understanding of who they are, what they're about, and what they will continue to do. She calls it the rhetorical ethic, and historically, it is the most fitting thought and behavior of Europeans. To paraphrase, it is a deep and familiar process within Yoruba mind where they systematically study others to gain an understanding of their interpretation of reality so that this knowledge can be used to mimic and deceive them into thinking that they and Urugu are the same. This grand deception serves to throw them off guard as Urugu's carnage of them begins. Truth is political for Europeans. This is absolutely arrested to by the historic consistency of their shameless, systematic historical use of false words against others. These lies are intentionally designed to destroy others through using their belief in the humanity of all humans, to manipulate them into believing that Europeans are the same humans and not trying to destroy them. It is the politics of morality, not universal morality, which rules Urugu's reality. In the Western cultural context, morality is purely political. Extreme individualism removes the possibilities of a moral base, especially in Urugu's world, because anything that produces a profit or a physical pleasure becomes morally correct. Within such a culture and society, ethics are naturally rhetorical. Regardless of the truth of its individual statement, convincing others of its truth is what is most important. Skill at manipulating minds is the ultimate priority. Truth itself is irrelevant. It is set by the winner. No rules are meant to be broken. No rules are meant to be broken. And because winning is everything and deception is the easiest and surest way to winning in Western society, there can be no moral rules except those arbitrarily given by the winner. It is the master of this lie who wins. It is the master of the lie who wins. For a lie is only a lie when one is caught by those with a greater capacity to punish. This outcome for the unwittingly is obvious. It is very important to understand this breach between word and deed, as it were, since people from other cultures often make costly political errors because of the lack of this rhetorical and hypothetical component in their own culture. They misinterpret European language and fail to predict European behavior. They are always, therefore, shocked by the intensity of the hostility and aggressive nature of European behavior. Knowing what is implied by the words we use is critical for our thinking, lest we allow ourselves to forget the word civilization itself is derived from the root word civil. And civil is considered descriptive of the form of interaction between people within a society who openly respect each other and between respectful societies. In other words, being civil with others carries a sentiment of mutual respect that is apparent in thought, word, and deed. Indeed, profoundly more than anything else, the term civilization is supposed to speak to a people's mentality. It refers to their genocultural and socialized interpretation disposition toward self and others. It is an interpretation of their living record. So, in following this line of reasoning, while a society of people's technology is not exempt from civilization's definition, what they produce and how they produce, distribute, and consume it is a direct reflection of their mentality. Who they are is to be found culturally and aesthetically embedded in what manifests from their minds, mouths, and hands. Civilization. Identity. By Papa Rudy's book. Frontline Concepts of African-Centered Sociology. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, brothers and sisters, the phone lines will be open at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It is my constant hope that when you listen to this program, I try to enlighten more and more. I try to help us understand who we are, what our relationship is to each other, how important it is that we know who our enemy is. And not that we continuously challenge it, but that we are understanding of what we have to do for ourselves. What we have to do for ourselves. And this piece we just read, of course, is in civilizations that in order for us to have a civilization into the future, well into the future, we have to be supportive of our sisters and we have to help rear our children. Our children. And when you look at our children in this society and they have become an ugly influence globally. Ugly influence globally. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and you stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You know, dear brothers and sisters, this is a labor of love for me, helping to raise the consciousness and the awareness and the understanding of our people, not just here in Atlanta or in Milwaukee or in the United States, but globally. We are an African people globally. And if we thought that way and moved that way, this stupidness, this ignorance, this madness would be over. Urugus clutch and grab and their vice grip on us would be over. And I know there are many people who believe that could never happen. But for us to survive this madness, it must happen. It must happen. And I believe it needs to happen soon. Sooner than later. But whenever it happens, we have to embrace it and do all that we can to protect it and to move in that direction. Excuse me, family. Taking calls at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, my good brother. What's up, man? We haven't talked to you in a while. Yes, sir. You sound great.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I know I missed you Monday, man. We were back and forth, and hadn't heard from you in a week prior to that. Oh. So I know you've been busy, man. How are things going?
Yeah, everything's good, Baba Oshie. I was in the Cayman Islands, man. I went on a solo brief vacation about 5 days.
Well,
I had a very good time. But, you know, Baba Oshie, because I'm so conscious, I seek out conscious people. I seek out people of like mind, ones who understand or have a level of understanding. And I looked around the Cayman Isles and it said the British Isles. I like that. Yeah. Britain has colonized these people's minds.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any, I didn't see any chains. I didn't see any bars, but their minds were colonized, Baba Oshie. And that made me think of Time for an Awakening.
Yeah. It's time for an awakening. You're
you don't
right,
have to
brother.
Put a chain on a brother. You can chain his mind down. And that's what I saw. I saw their minds and the money. I had somebody else own it. And all these things that I saw that were let me know that neocolonialism is in full effect.
Yes.
But then when I got back and read the headlines about Burkina Faso, mm-hmm. about Chad, about Niger, I felt good.
Right. Because
I'm
of the
telling
potential.
You, my brother, because of
the potential that's there. Yes, I agree.
The United States is not the breadbasket. The breadbasket of the world is Africa.
Yes.
And, Bob, I mean, I know some people may think, oh, you just wishing. And I mean, you can say whatever you want. All I know is that Africa has everything that everybody wants. Biden just went to Africa. What? He don't even know what day it is. What the hell he doing over there?
He
just went to Africa. To Angola, and he said he's on. I saw the little clip of it, and this is where the first slaves were taken. And it's a big sin. It's a terrible sin. Then they bring some black guy on that writes for the New York Times or Washington Post or one of them, mm-hmm. and he talks about what Bush did for Africa. And I'm saying to myself, why didn't Biden say anything about reparations that he gave the American Africans in this country? Mm. Oh, that's right, because he didn't give them any reparations. Okay. So why are you? Why do you keep saying that they're giving Africa aid? For 100 years, they're giving you aid, but the aid never, ever makes them independent of you.
Right.
So in other words, you keep giving me slices of bread, but you never give me the loaf, let alone show me how to bake the bread. But Africa has been feeding themselves for years. But the missionaries told them they were savages. Mm-hmm. And when they left, they had your land, and you had their Bible and their Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that simple, Baba Oshie. I know people on this air maybe get tired of hearing that, but where else do you hear that? Where else do you hear someone saying exactly what Urugu is doing? Urugu I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, these Caucasians have been setting this thing. This is a manifestation of things that have happened years ago, generations. Mm-hmm. Hundreds, we were enslaved over 200, 300 years. I mean, years. Generations were enslaved.
Yeah.
You knew you were going to die a slave
right.
when you were born a slave.
Right.
So, you know, don't tell me about other cultures.
That's a sad commentary, isn't it? To think that I'm born this way. And this, you know, there's a couple of things that I used when I was working with children in schools on my off day at the fire department. I know. Did you work 24/48? Was that your schedule too?
Yeah, I did. I did 24/48 for a while. Yeah.
Yep. We have 24/48. So on those 2 days off, those 48, I would go to schools during the week and just talk to our children and explain shit and, you know, put something on their minds. I was always saying to them that I'm going to tell you things and teach you things that you will not get in here. This is not a part of the usual curriculum, man, you know. But I'm putting something on your mind. And one piece I used to use was a video, and it's good for children. It's good for all us, you know, Brother Future. And I think you can get that, once again, YouTube. I think you can go on YouTube and get that movie, Brother Future. It was in the 90s. And it's a very good story. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Moses Gunn is in it. Vanna McGee is in it. Some good folks in it, in the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Denmark Vesey.
Yeah, about, right. Denmark Vesey, Deacons of Defense. Yeah.
Yep, about Denmark Vesey. And so this young brother in Detroit, he's slick, you know. In fact, the opening piece is he's hanging out in this big-ass garbage can. Seeing these cats ripping this electronics store off. And so he rips them off. You know, he rips them off. And he's selling this stuff. And so, and he's very intelligent, brother. But in school, he ain't paying attention. In fact, he's laying down, his head down, and the teacher slams a book. Bam! He says, TJ, why don't you, you know, apply yourself in your studies? I said, nah, he ain't. You know, the streets is my studies. You know, the streets, I'm hustling on the streets. But he had a dream at that moment about being near a tree. And so what happens is his buddy Crunch is conscious. He got a red African red, black, and green medallion on and a kufi on, and they're talking and so forth. Well, the cops come around and they pull up on him, and he runs, you know, and he makes a turn, and he gets hit by a car, and he's transposed back to 1822 South Carolina, Denmark Vesey,
right.
Denmark Vesey, you know. And so when he wakes up by that tree, you know, he looks around and he sees a young brother, you know, in chains. He's running. He's trying to get, he's escaping. And so when the two Caucasians come upon him, they look at him. What's this guy? Look at this. That don't look like him, but they took him anyway, you know, because he black. So it don't make no damn difference. You black, ain't you? You know, just like in that piece, because he has his consciousness of of the 90s, but he's in 1822. And so
right.
They're out there, and they told Zeke, the you know, the overseer, to go out there and teach him how to pick cotton. You know,
right?
And so he's saying, "What? I gotta put my hands in that?" And he's a little boss, and I'll be all day. So he just pick up a whole damn plant and just throw it in his bag. Boy, where you from? You don't know how to pick cotton? Well, ain't sure. I sure in hell ain't from around here. In fact, he says to Moses Gunn, "Are these the hands of a slave? They black, ain't they?" There it is.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, they black, ain't they? Yeah, the hands of a slave, they black. You know. So yeah, man, this. It's a great movie, and Vanessa McGee, she works in the house, you know.
Okay.
And she befriends him, and she helps him understand his dreams that he's going through, you know. So, oh yeah, it's a good piece, man.
Wow, yeah, that is deep. And you know what, Bob Oshie, by you summarizing that movie, I can tell that it gives messages. Just mm-hmm. like the movies nowadays.
Yeah.
They give subliminal messages to you. It's to buy this, to go there, mm-hmm. to drive this, to drink this.
Yeah.
And that movie gave you subliminal messages that you wasn't born a slave. You was born black, weren't you? Black doesn't mean I'm a slave.
Right. Shit.
Black means you're trying to, in other words, you're trying to enslave me. Mm-hmm. And see, the thing about it, Baba Oshie, like I said to you earlier, when we were talking earlier this week, I said white folks have a problem being called a racist. Mm. But they don't have a problem with racism.
No. No, exercising it is clearly who they are and what they are. But they don't have no problem. They don't have no problem. Yeah.
God, whatever.
Because, see, race, just like I tried to explain on Monday's program when I did that piece on functional definitions of racism, you know, because that's the problem. You know, their idea of race is that they created a concept of race. And they gave themselves a top position with everybody else, a lower position with us at the lowest position. And you see that manifest in today's world when you see people who are melanated.
Right.
Even in countries that they were born in, there's discrimination. There's that hierarchy. You know, somebody on TV is not going to be deeply melanated. Somebody in the movie, somebody... You know, in fact, I was reading this one piece on Brazil. You know, there's more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria, but we don't run shit there either. You know, and so these brothers and sisters in Brazil, you know, on the soap opera, the quote soap operas, all of them. But if you are a maid, you can play you can be a dark skinned person if you want to play a maid, but you ain't playing no significant person, and your ass ain't lighter. It's a damn shame. It's globally. And they did that. Europeans did. Now, some could argue, I don't know, you know, because I had this book by the Imam, War of Deen Muhammad, when he took over after the death of the Nation of Islam after the death of Elijah Muhammad. And he brought this book in for study, you know. And there's a chapter in that book that I'll never forget. And that is, the title is, The Roots of Aryan White Racism and Diabolical and Diabolical Consciousness, you know. And basically what he's talking about, of course, is the caste system created in India. You know, India has that. I mean, all countries do. They have it bad in terms of how they treat melanated people. They have it bad. And people, that's why worldwide, bleaching cream, selling of bleaching cream is $1 billion business.
Right.
Of lightening your skin is $1 billion business. And for those who have the money, they can get it surgically done. You know? Yeah, they run from being black.
Baba, how colonized do you have to be?
Oh, man, deep.
To have your skin surgically whitened.
Yeah.
I see the point where black men don't put on wigs just so their hair looks like white men. We don't do that.
No.
Black men don't do that. We don't. But a black woman will put hair in their head with the texture of a Caucasian.
Sure.
Because she believes that that's what the white man wants, and she believes that's what the black man wants. Because if you look at the brothers with the money, seems like TV tells you that all of them got snow bunnies and all of them are married to white women. So I got to look like a white woman so that a black man will like me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to put on that Megan Thee Stallion straight textured hair to look like Britney Spears some damn body.
Right.
So that black man and that white man will want me subconsciously. Mm-hmm. See, and we're going right back to the same thing, Baba Oshie, the mind.
That's
it's not
it
the
is.
Money. It's not the geography. It's the mind. Yeah. I'm not in Africa, but Africa's in me.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, I'm African.
That's
all
right.
Day, every day, and I don't apologize for being African.
I say.
And if you've got a problem with it, that's your problem.
Yeah. But unfortunately,
and you, everybody knows.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they do. They've always had a problem with it. They developed that problem with it. Now, understand something in human development. African people out of fathers and mothers of humanity. They're the first people everywhere. So that wasn't an issue, you know. In fact, you know, they studied at our feet. Even the Greeks, all of it. I mean, I was going to play a piece that would talk about that, you know, that the Greeks and even the Romans, all of them came and studied at Africans' feet. But then, of course, they came back as conquerors, and they came back to take Kemet, which was the jewel of Africa because of its high civilization,
right.
You know, and
that's
all,
right.
All the things that it's done until the day you have Arabs claiming that all of it was theirs. There were no black Africans. You have people who said that the ancient Kemetic people were not black. They're in Africa, but they're not black. You know, that kind of foolishness.
Right. Okay.
Right. You know,
whoever writes the history is his story.
Exactly.
He writes his story. And I'm not going to put myself down and tell the truth about what it was about. I'm going to tell you somewhere I wear shoes with big buckles and we all sat down at the table and we was happy and eating and everything, man. And, you know, no, that's not really the way it went down.
No.
And
that history is there. That's why, to me, and I know on Thanksgiving Day the beauty of being with family, and hopefully that the atmosphere is good, and hopefully that the food is good, and people coming from distances and so forth, and some you may not have seen since the last time, you know, y'all got together like that. And so that's beautiful, and I understand that. But you got to understand that the root of the Thanksgiving, what did it really mean? You know, what happened? You know, what happened to the Pequot Indians in the Northeast, you know, on their corn festival, when they were having their corn festival? What happened? Well, them crackers came in and vamped on them because the men were out hunting and so forth. They came in and vamped on them and killed them. And then when the men came back, they killed them. And then those crackers went back into their fort because, you know, they always want barriers. They always want to put a wall up. They came back into their fort, and they gave thanks to their God that they were able to kill these savages and to further expand. And then of course they developed the idea that they must conquer and control all. So they developed manifest destiny. Manifest destiny. And so they sweep across. Yeah, they go from the east to the west, taking everything. Taking everything.
Justification. You can't, justification.
Right. That's right. You can't control nothing. You can't have nothing unless I say so.
God, something.
So, yeah.
And that's why, Baba Oshi, I am not surprised at the current administration. I'm not surprised at the former administration. I'm not surprised at the laws that are coming down to suppress black people or to keep black people down. I'm not surprised at the black people who are carrying these white people's water. This is a manifestation of years and generations of a slave mindset.
Yeah.
You're going to help me. We're going to have a savior. Somebody going to come and give us something. You know, I want a stimulus check. Huh? Who says that?
Yeah.
Why are we talking like that?
Yeah. Well,
why aren't we teaching our children?
Well, that's
Baba Oshi.
That's the mentality, particularly those who are in like an organization like ADOS, and even to some degree in COBRA, you know, where they're looking at reparations as a monetary stimulus for them and their family to get the. And I understand. Listen, Brother Irv. I understand there are many of us who have been in a impoverished situation for decades in certain cities, in Chicago, Detroit, down south here. They've been in poverty.
Correct.
And I understand, and I feel bad about that. But the bottom line is the root word of reparations is repair. Like the root word of civilization is civil. The root word is repair, and we need to repair it. If I give you a check, you can repair your family, but still the conditions continue to be manifested and exacerbated. So what am I want to do? I want to make sure that we all get something, and we pull that money together to educate ourselves, to prepare ourselves to own stuff and to run something. Imagine if we could say, hey, okay, you put us in this debt in this damn community. Now we're going to control it. We're kicking out all these Arabs. We're kicking out all these Koreans. We're going to have these stores. These stores will be ours. We're going to spend money amongst each other. We're going to clean up this neighborhood. We ain't going to want to run to be in the suburbs living with you, which, in fact, that has been reversed because they are moving back into where they left. Gentrification.
Right.
Gentrification. And now, which makes these neighborhoods tax rate higher, where a lot of the families can't afford, who are living here, can't afford to deal with it. You know?
So, that's correct.
I mean, hey, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, that this is not ours. And it never has been for us, but the reality, family, it never will be for us. We cannot live. We cannot live in the belly of the beast and really thrive and exist. No, we can't.
No,
it's not for us to do. You know.
Yes, and this is the manifestation, like I said before, of generations of chipping away at your Africanism.
Yeah.
In other words, first we cut your foot off. And if you don't get it, then we'll cut the other one off. So what he's doing is he's cutting out Africa in your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Africa out of you. Mm-hmm. That way you don't know you are a new being. We created you in this
right.
country. What am I? I'm
right.
a Negro.
Right.
What the hell is a Negro? We created you. You don't have no homeland. You don't have no God, no religion, no language. You are what we say you are. And you should be happy that we allow you mm-hmm. to marry us. You should be mm-hmm. happy we allow you to work for us. You should be happy that some of you have been lifted. I can look around and see, like he said on the clip, we can point to Negroes who've done good. But can we point to a yeah. group that's done good? Can we point and not an I or us? Can you point not an I or we? Can mm-hmm. you point to the group? You point to individuals, Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, mm-hmm. Denzel Washington. No. Can you point to a group? I can point to a group. The Jewish people.
Oh, yeah.
The Asian people.
Oh, yeah.
The Indian people.
Oh, yeah.
Those are groups. When you talk of them, you talk of groups. When you talk of us, you talk of individuals. I know I'm repeating myself, and I'm doing it on purpose.
That's
because
right.
I need to penetrate the minds of those who don't understand that consciousness is the only way to go.
Right.
If we don't unify, we will die.
That's right.
If we don't do that, we will cease to exist. We've already passed the point of no return.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, Baba Oshi, time is not on our side.
Right. I agree with that. We want to believe that, but I agree with that because everything is accelerated. You know, here you have what I just mentioned, right, reading Baba Baruti's book, Identity, on the chapter of civilization, that these people, their whole idea is more, the technology of
right.
more. Here, machines and so forth doing better and better and better. I mean, we have more and more people and less jobs, less ability to,
right.
you know, and then what's going to happen to these people? They're going mm-hmm. to be imprisoned and eventually exterminated. Because they have, so you have a business that is run by machines. And so you don't have to pay sick leave. You don't have to pay insurance. You don't have to pay nothing. All you do is press the button, run the goddamn machine, and it produces whatever it is that these people think and say they want. And you get paid. And now you're a multi whatever. You know?
That's right.
And
you got a car. You need a sandwich. I got a car that will drive itself to your house. Huh?
That's right.
The car don't need nobody to drive it.
Yeah.
And you people don't see what's going on here.
Watch,
I saw this little thing in Florida. It was a robot going down the street.
Right.
I am not lying.
No, I got you. They see it. Yeah. Delivering. Delivering something to somebody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was a pizza.
Okay. Delivering a pizza. Okay. Okay. Delivering a pizza. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Some people are amazed and amused. I'm not amazed nor am I amused with what these people can do because I love humanity. And I recognize what they're doing is going to be a detriment to human beings. Here it is when you have gone through your life like I have and like you have. You know, more years behind us than ahead of us, and then we have grandchildren. What is going to be their situation? And what is going to be the situation of their children going to be? When you look at all this technology going mm-hmm. on all this artificial intelligence and all the things that it can do by pressing a button here or there or programming into it, what is going to happen to them and their prospects of life and a fulfilling life? That's why, to me, we got to get up out of this and go to Africa to live and to work.
That's right.
And to build.
That's right.
You know, have schools taught.
That's right.
Have schools taught by teachers who have a sympathy and understanding that these children can learn. Have jobs and corporations that are run by men and women. Not that they want to get billions of dollars. No, they want to provide services for the people so they can live a good life, a good
That's
clean
right.
life. That's what's
That's
happening.
Right.
That's what we need to do. We need to be the model of that. You know?
Because we're living in a mindset of competition mm-hmm. and not a mindset of cooperation.
Right.
Because you can't live if I don't live. This country, you will constantly be in turmoil if you keep trying to put your foot on my neck. If you keep trying to enslave my mind, I'm going to fight that until I die and instill in my children to fight it. It's like the song said, fight the power.
Fight the power.
What they were talking about is the colonizer.
Yeah.
He's trying to colonize you to think a certain way. Then that way you don't become a threat. You're running around here putting a dress on in high heels. You're not a threat. You're trying to get a handbag. You think that's cute. Or you running after another woman. You're not reproducing.
No.
You're stifling yourself.
Yeah.
And even the medicine. You got this cat, JF Kennedy, that's going to be in charge of the medicines and all the vaccines. And he's bringing up some points that the pharmaceutical companies are saying, wait a minute, we don't want to talk about that because people don't need to know that these things can kill them. They need to know these things will help them. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, there has to be a balance in what we do, Baba
sure,
Oshie.
Sure.
There has to be some type of a balance. But when you have people who are trying to, these white people that's in the power now, the Trumps and all those, these are extreme people.
Yes, they are.
And Biden was just as extreme,
yes.
But this guy is overtly extreme. In other words, he doesn't even try to hide his racism. He don't give a damn.
No, he never has. Like I said, you know, in my recollection of who he and what he is from way back in the 80s on all his other talk shows, because that's how you got a chance to see him, you know, and what he was saying, and to the point that he got his own little, I never watched the episode of it, apprenticeship.
Yeah, apprentice, yeah.
Because I never liked this man, ever. Arrogant, you know, never, ever. And then, of course, when he put out the big full-page article talking about to exterminate, even execute them publicly, the Central
yeah,
Park Five, or now the Exonerated Five, to execute them publicly. He's even talking about doing that still, having public executions. This man is a tyrant. He's an idiot, you know. This is, man, I tell you,
we
man.
Got to go. Baba Oshie, the only solution for the American African is to leave. And
yes,
if you don't
is.
Believe that, stay yeah. here. And you yeah. and then you tell me how that works out for you.
Yeah.
Because I have no problem with going to Burkina Faso and working with Ibrahim Touré to protect the country, to build the military, to back the kick the French out.
Right.
Kick the French out. That's the slogan for the month. Kick the French out.
I love it. I love it. Because no other country is more into Africa than the French. The French would be a so-called shithole country if it were not for the resources of Africa and how they've
That's
done
right.
that to Africans. You know, the French used to have even bigger holes in Africa until they were
right.
made to get out. And when they left, they destroyed the infrastructure. They destroyed
right.
it.
Right.
You know?
Right. They still living in the 50s, Baba
yeah.
Oshie. They still have a mindset of the 50s. Of the 20s, or when they could kill Patrice Lumumba and nothing happens to them, Shell Oil Company.
Now,
can kill Patrice Lumumba and a bunch of other people.
Now, I understand. I understand that in Europe, African people had a bigger chance to sit in restaurants and go to hotels and so forth than we did earlier. That's fine. But those people knew who they were. Those people had control of everything in Europe. The Germans, the Belgians, the Spanish, the French, the English, you know, so that's not, it was going to be an issue. We got control of this. They just guessed, and they should just be happy, you know, because I know I was watching this documentary on Stack Records, on the Caucasians that started Stack Records in Memphis, and how the brothers and sisters in the city of Memphis began to get control of Stack Records. And still, the white man owned it, and you know, and how they first went to Europe and how they felt, because in America at the time of the late 50s and 60s, all the way into damn near the 70s, Brother Irv, as you know, still segregation was the order of the day. You know, you couldn't get public accommodations, and you Shoney Hill couldn't be in the same theater and music hall and so forth. So, you know, the reality is, let me say this, man. I could give less than a rat's ass about public accommodations, any damn thing else. The only thing I'm really concerned about and care about is the survival of African people, and that means us getting out of this madness. Right. We cannot reform this. They will never change. They are who they are, you know, and they're committed to being who they are, and they want us to want us to accept that. They want us to accept that commission, you know.
As being the law, as being real, as being something sent down from my divine being. No, the God I serve don't want me to live on my knees and be subservient to someone. That's the Bible you wrote. I don't understand how you got Peter, Paul, and Mary, European names in a Bible that comes from Africa.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Huh?
This whole thing is a farce, man. This whole thing is a farce. These European Jews who are controlling in what is now called Israel, formerly Palestine, is a farce. It's a lie.
Yeah.
All of this shit is a lie.
That's right.
You know, and deception. That's why I'm saying. That's why I'm saying. Exactly. That's why I'm saying. For us, we need to close ranks, pull our resources, do for ourselves.
Right.
We need to get with our women, respect them. Marry them, raise families,
and have children.
Have children.
And be able to protect
them. Exactly. Now, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into no damn homosexual debates. Okay.
No.
That's your business. But the bottom line is, we need family, and family is historically and realistically and seriously a man, a woman, and children. A man, a woman, and children. Now, if you want to go off some deviate from that, that's your damn business. But that's what it is, and that's what we need. We need family. And so, so from that core and how that continues to develop and be very strong, now we have community. We have community. And now we share resources. And now we have businesses. Now we have businesses that can employ us. Now we have a monetary system that we develop. You know, we have educational systems. And we have educational systems that teach us how to cultivate the land, how to maintain it, how to live together, how to build cities, how to build factories, how to build roads and ports and all hospitals and all the things we need. If y'all ask want to build a church, then you just go ahead. But we ain't talking about a damn church. We're talking about things that will do good for African people and their lives, has family, has citizens of a community that we need, you know? Because one of the problems that definitely is a issue for us is the theologies that we believe in. If you're a African spiritual person, that's what you believe in, that's fine. If you're a Christian, that's fine. The problem, or Muslim, that's fine. The problem is in you imposing that on us, on those who don't want it. Because you believe that it's the righteous way to go. No. These are stories. Just like you said, I mean, I don't know what the names are, because they don't give you the names of Jesus' disciples except Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all this kind of stuff. No. You know, Levi, no. These weren't the names of these people. These weren't the names of these people that lived in lived in that region at that time. These are some made up stuff with the formation of these books, right? The formation of this, book. So, you know, there's an issue that we have to deal with, man.
And
we have to deal with it if we are to live as human beings.
That's correct.
On this planet.
That's correct. We have
to deal with it. And I look at it right as it is right now. We're in a tenuous position, man. We
that's
really
correct.
Are. You know, every social ill in this society, in the problem, of course, is that globally people look at the United States in so many positive ways. They don't look at the mass incarceration. They don't look at the stuff that we have gone through. I believe I lost my brother Irv. They don't look at none of that. They look at mass incarceration. They look, they look at all the trappings and all the material things that America perpetuates globally in its image. They don't look at how they operate covertly, how they undermine other countries, how they have bases, military bases globally. They have military bases all up in Africa, all throughout the world. They can just send a communication right now, and they can go bomb your ass in the next half hour, less. That's how it is. And they are down with the control of the planet. The control of the planet. So it's going to be very deep in the next coming years. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I just hope to see at least some movement towards African sovereignty, some movement towards independence, some movement towards self-determination, that we embrace concepts that we know that we can sustain ourselves, that we can embrace concepts that we know that we respect each other, love each other, work with one another, trust one another. That's what I'm hoping. We cannot do it here because it is not conducive. This place is not conducive to that. It doesn't promote that. It promotes individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what this is. That's what it is. And the most violent people on the planet are Caucasians. They're the most, yes, I know we have been made to believe that we are the most violent people on the planet. You know, death and destruction comes with us. No, that's not true. No, that's not true. In fact, Dr. Leonard Jesse used to say the 3 Ds, death, domination, and destruction. That's what they were about. Death, domination, and destruction. When they came into your country, when they came into your regions and so forth, it meant your death if they couldn't dominate you. And then they destroyed you. You know, and that's what it's about for them. They're not looking, you know, they're not looking to be participants in a global concept. Look at here. Look at America. Look what they've done with all the efforts for us trying to make inclusion and equity and all that old kind of. Look what has happened. Look what happened with the idea of being woke. They use that now as some kind of negative thing. Ron DeSantis, who might be appointed, you know, in that position that the other dude from Fox, Hedgeset, whatever the hell his name is, because there's too much stuff against it and he may not get confirmed. So they're looking at maybe Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, you know. And the first thing he always said, we're going to get rid of woke, eliminate it, you know, get rid of any programs. Because what you really believe that now you can get rid of all these programs because what? Now we live in an equitable society. We live in a society that is free of discrimination and racism. We live in a society where people are judged fairly and equitably. You really? Really? Stop it. It's a damn shame. And see, and my contention is it will never change. That's why I don't care about that. I don't care. What I care about is us moving in a direction for self, moving in a direction where we come to the realization of who we are as African people and embrace it and work with one another to bring into existence. If you had all these resources, you had the gold, you had the diamonds, you had the bauxite, the titanium, cobalt, iridium, you have all of this under your feet, all of this within your grasp. But yet, you want to go live in Europe. You want to go live with Caucasians. You want to go get you a snow bunny, male or female. And that could be for both the man, a male or a female snow bunny. You want to get, and don't come at me because, yeah, well, there's some good Caucasians. I'm not talking about Caucasians that may be liking African people. I ain't talking about Caucasians that want to marry African people. I ain't talking about Caucasians that have children by African people. I'm talking about African people embracing themselves. Embracing themselves. You see what's happening now, family, with this proliferation of African people having births with Europeans, with Caucasians. Because why? Caucasian births are low. They have been experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. That's why their numbers. And then what happened 5 years ago in 2020 with COVID, many died because they were an older population and they had preconditions. Many died and hardly any were born. And then the ones that are born, yeah, you can get, you know, just like what they did to breed us out after captivity was over. Not so much in this country because, you know, what they wanted to do was a hardcore thing. Well, Argentina was even deeply more hardcore. Their hardcore thing was, you know, segregation, you know, humiliation and denial, you know, deep suited race. But Argentina's thing was elimination. You know, they weren't going to go with Colombia and have the African populations of Colombia or Brazil, so forth. No, Argentina said, no, we're going to get your ass out. If you don't go, we may even kill you. You know, and what we'll also do is breed you out. Take the women, have a child, even take a man. Have a child with a Caucasian woman, light-skinned kid. He don't mess around with nobody African. He has a kid. He don't mess around with nobody African. He has a kid. So now you have a child that looks almost clearly Caucasian now if you check the DNA. And that's period. Because DNA go all the way back. And the first people is us any damn way. But the appearance of that child is Caucasian. And that's what we perpetuate. So we can breed you out. We can find ways to eliminate you by sex and the offspring. Because the fear, as Francis Cress Welsing said to us, was sex. But the thing was, you know, well, we're going to control. Well, then we're going to control that. We're going to make you lighter and lighter and lighter till you are. To your pigment and to your the melanin is always there. It's just that you have far less of it. Yeah. So has this society, and then also too, the elimination of people and us, particularly in American society. there will be a downsizing of Latinos, a increase of Asians, and an elimination of Africans. I hope not to see something like that, as I adamantly will challenge it and argue against it. But that's what's going to happen, because the offspring of those encounters will be siding with Caucasians. You know, that has been a history of people passing. Plessy versus Ferguson, that was something you try to pass. Dude at my job on the fire department, when they had affirmative action, many Caucasians took advantage of them. Some who said, I'm Latino, because that was one of the groups, you know, indigenous people, Native Americans. Irish dude named Dave Walsh claimed to be indigenous. That's how he got on. An Italian dude named Vaquero said he was Spanish. That's how he got on, you know. I remember there was these two Caucasian twins out east. I think it was Boston. And the challenge came up against them. And I think they lost. They tried to get on. And, oh, you know there were some ill feelings by many Caucasians that allowed us to come on the way that we did. And some Caucasians were on a list. And they were on a list for months, if not a year or so. And I came on, took the test in November, December. I got hired in January. I can care less than a rat's ass. That's right. And so, you know, they're saying all those things that provided the fact that Europeans control all of this, and who and what they are is mean-spirited and evil and discriminatory. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know? Yeah. Brother Kwaku, how you doing? Okay. All right. But, you know, I don't know what happened. We don't have many calls. I don't know there's something wrong with our phone lines or calling in. I don't know. You know, the technology is what it is. It's been working for quite a while, and I appreciate that. You know. Yeah. But, Baba Butch.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, my brother? How are you today, Baba?
I'm fine. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you again. You, Paul, and who's the other brother? Y'all need to write. You need to write. You, Paul, from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, with his economics.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to put this on paper.
I hear you, brother.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about starting today. Get busy.
Yeah, I got.
Is Paul on? Is Paul coming on soon?
I don't know. It's 5 minutes to one, so I doubt it.
Yeah, so I was waiting for Paul. Y'all got to sit down. Irv, you young cats, you got to write, man.
Yeah, Irv is here. What's up, Irv?
Brother, I lost complete power. Arugu heard us talking and got upset and said, and said he's going to cut us off. And you know, that just drives home the point I was trying to make, is that you're correct. But when you do these AI things, that gives more control to Arugu, because as soon as he cuts the grid off and all the electric's gone, these young people can't take a pencil and paper and add.
That's why you got to write, man. I'm telling you, you got to write, right. All of y'all.
That's right. He's right. Yeah. Baba Oshie, he's absolutely correct. because Dr. Henry Clark, Amos Wilson, Dr. Venn, they wrote things down. Our ancestors chiseled it in stone.
Right.
Because the ancestors knew they were going to try to open the door. Listen,
don't stop talking. Talk and write and talk every day. Listen, I'm telling you what you got to do.
I hear you, Baba.
Positive. Mm-hmm. I love you, Baba. Yeah. I love it. That is so true. Because we ain't going to be here forever.
No.
Huh? That's why I'm telling you got to write. You ain't going to be here forever. Just talking is fine. You got to write to your kids. You got to get my... Hey, listen, man. You're talking right. Mm-hmm. And also, Ochi, will you please give Kwaku my number, because I can't find his number. I'm not supposed to call his brother.
Okay.
Give him my number. But you guys got to write, man. You got to write morning, noon, and night. God damn it. Shit.
I hear you. I hear you, Baba. I feel you, brother. I feel you. Yes, sir. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get off this.
He's up against it.
Yep, I'm up against the clock again, but I appreciate y'all's spirit. I appreciate y'all's contribution. I appreciate y'all listening and sharing. This broadcast, and hopefully that more men and women come on.
Share by writing.
Yeah.
And give Kwaku my number, man, if you got it, because I can't find it.
Okay, I will do that. I'll share your number. I sure will, dear brother.
When you get up in the morning, you go take a leap, write something. God damn it.
I hear you, Baba. All right, brother. Y'all take care, and I will talk to y'all. Wait a minute. Is that Kwaku here? Let me hold on. Brother Kwaku. No, it's not working. All right, brother. Peace to y'all. We end this program.
Yes.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday, right back here, right on time for an awakening.com for African Perspectives. Peace, family.